From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report providing an update on permanent supportive housing in Milwaukee County. This item was also referred to the Committee on Economic and Community Development. On May 13th, the Committee on Economic and Community Development voted to receive and place this item on file on a motion of 5-0. On a vote of 5-0.
All right, go ahead.
Madam Chair, Supervisors. So you have before you an informational report on permanent supportive housing. What I try to do is kind of give a little history of where we've been, how we got to this point, and kind of what we're looking at doing and some of the challenges in the future for supportive housing. So just briefly to talk about kind of the history in this model, the Housing Division was created around 2008. As a separate division, and the intent of that was to really try to improve housing conditions for individuals with mental health issues that were affiliated with the Behavioral Health Division. So the concept was to take all the areas within the Housing Division, use all of our resources to help solve that problem. And one of the major ways that we've done that is the creation of permanent supportive housing units. So since that time, we've partnered with developers and service providers on about 450 units or so since 2008. And this is typically, these are generally going to be one-bedroom apartment units. They're going to be subsidized through some form of rental assistance. And the important thing is that there's services on site. So these could be peer support services or other services, coordinating with case management, making sure that when folks are in their housing unit that they can maintain that housing unit and be successful there. What we have noticed since we started doing this is the quality of life of our consumers has dramatically improved. And from a fiscal standpoint, we're seeing a reduction in emergency room visits, PCS visits, other BHD services. So we do support these services with levy, but we really believe that it's quite a cost savings on a lot of the different public safety type issues that we're dealing with. The other thing to point out, there's been a total investment of over $92 million in construction for this issue, which is great that the attention is on this for our consumers, but it's also created a lot of construction jobs. And it's been big with a lot of neighborhoods and economic development, so there's really a broad benefit to this. There's two main areas of permanent supportive housing. There is the project-based buildings. So the handout you received are all buildings that have permanent supportive housing with services directly on site. There's another form of supportive housing that we've done in the county for quite a while called Shelter Plus Care. And Shelter Plus Care is a scattered site program. We receive a little under $3 million from HUD for rental assistance vouchers for individuals that are disabled and homeless. They can take that voucher and go anywhere throughout Milwaukee County that they choose to. And then they're linked up with case management, either provided directly by Milwaukee County or a contracted agency. So those are really the two forms of supportive housing that we're dealing with. So how have we partnered with developers? One of the big ways historically has been gap financing. A majority of the permanent supportive housing in Milwaukee County has been funded through WEDA's low-income housing tax credit program. So WEDA will fund, could be 80-85% of the total development cost. Due to our consumers' low income and sometimes no income, we really need to try to make these buildings as debt-free as possible. So even though WEDA provides their tax credits, there's still a gap for developers that needs to be filled. And one of the ways that the county has done that with the support of the county board is through the Special Needs Housing Trust Fund that the county has had. We've invested about $3 million into that fund, and a majority of the buildings that you see on your handout we did fund. The City of Milwaukee also has their City Housing Trust Fund, and we partnered with them. And they've invested quite a bit, almost a dollar-for-dollar match on a lot of these projects. So gap financing has been a big thing that we've done. We also have federal home dollars in the Housing Division budget, and for the first time we used home money to do the Brown Deer Bradley Crossing development. It's about $500,000 of home money. So really trying to use all of our resources to fill those gaps for developers. The other important subsidy that's necessary is the rental subsidy itself. When you're doing this kind of development, many of our consumers are either have no income or have SSI around $700 and some a month. So we have to make that rent affordable. So we generally will attach, it's typically a Section 8 housing choice voucher to that unit, and the voucher stays with the unit and not the person, so these developments generally always have that subsidy. Supervisor Mayo, you had asked a question at Economic Development about how many families were on the Section 8 waiting list. The number is 650, so I just wanted to get back to you on that. So we have the ability to project-base up to 20% of our vouchers towards development like this. We're nearing that cap now, but that's how we've kind of been successful attaching the rental subsidy to these buildings. What really makes everything successful, though, and improves the quality of life for our consumers is the supportive services. That's really the piece that makes everything go, is the services on site. The services have generally been paid for by Milwaukee County through tax levy. Approximately $700,000 or so goes towards providing these on-site services. Some of the developments also have some supportive service money through HUD, but mostly it is provided by Milwaukee County through tax levy for the services. Again, we have definitely seen a reduction in other services because the on-site support that individuals receive. With supportive services, we're really trying to have peer support specialists in all of our developments. So a majority of the contracts that come through our division are to support peer support services at these buildings. I mentioned the City of Milwaukee's Housing Trust Fund. They've really been a great partner in getting these developments done. The city and the county created a commission on supportive housing back when all this began. County executive and mayor appointed different individuals to this commission to ensure that the city and the county continue to move in this direction, continue to do more development. So that group still exists now. Myself and Martha Brown from Milwaukee City Development staff to that committee. And again, the city's housing trust fund is still active, I believe. They put about $400,000 into their trust fund last year. The differences in the trust fund, our funds have always went towards this model and permanent supportive housing. The city's housing trust fund is affordable housing in general, so it can go to these developments and can go to, could be home ownership activities, whatever. It's more of a general affordable housing category for them. As far as the future of supportive housing, which you'll see on your map there again is where our buildings are currently located. One of the things that we're really striving to do is try to have permanent supportive housing in every area of Milwaukee County. When we started, again, with the City of Milwaukee's help, zoning has sometimes been a challenge, so we really started working with city parcels. Two of the latest developments, Bradley Crossing and Brown Deer and Highland Commons and West Isles, were our first two projects outside the City of Milwaukee, which we're very proud of. So we're still going to be very active in trying to get this model in every municipality through Milwaukee County. The biggest challenge moving forward, in my opinion, is going to be lack of rental assistance dollars. We're really coming close to our cap and our Housing Choice Voucher Program. Investors are extremely leery investing in supportive housing if that rental assistance is not attached. Once we hit our cap, it will be very difficult to continue to do these units at a pace that we've been doing. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on, especially with the sequestration cuts. We're looking at about a $600,000 reduction in our Housing Choice Voucher program, which complicates things even further. So that's probably the main challenge going forward with supportive housing. So with that, open to any questions.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Mayo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, you also need to talk about the funding of both the Housing Trust Fund and also the GAF funding. I'm not GAF funding, Section 8 funding, because both of those fundings are dwindling right now, because in the Housing Trust Fund, you have zero. And we got to figure out how we're going to fund that back again. Are we going to use that money to replenish that fund? Because even though we do an excellent job, and we do an excellent job as a whole in the mental health, but the funding source is drying up in almost all those programs. And now we have to see how will we replenish the funds at the present moment. We talk about that in economic development. Can you share with the new colleagues?
Sure. Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo. The county's housing trust fund was basically a low-interest loan from the state of Wisconsin through the Commission on Public Lands, I believe it was called back then. So we received that $3 million for those funds, and then we would repay that loan at a low interest rate, which I believe is paid off at this time. So that is how the county had funded their housing trust fund. The city of Milwaukee, for their $400,000 annually, it's a local tax levy that goes in to fund that. We can, if we're going to do suburban development, we're going to be able to continue to use our home funds. We use CDBG funds for the first time last year that we typically haven't used. Our CDBG funds for affordable housing, we'd really like to try to focus on that. So those federal funds will still be there. We're not anticipating a huge cut in our home or CDBG program, so we're still looking to use those funds. But Section 8 is going to continue to be a challenge. We're going to have to try to find other forms of rental assistance. We're trying to go after some competitive shelter plus care grants through HUD, so we're trying to be as creative as we can, but the Section 8 limitations for our budget is going to be an issue.
Professor Stemper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For 2014 budget, or do you have any projected time when the issue is going to take place?
As far as the sequestration?
Yeah, but what you just talked about.
Mm-hmm. We're pretty much dealing with that right now. As far as CDBG, our applications will be coming out. We won't be sure what that budget will look like yet. Mm-hmm. We're still waiting for HUD to award us our 2013 funds. Which has been an issue as well. So for 2014, we're not exactly sure what that's gonna look like quite yet.
Okay. And during our tour, Jim, the two forms of support housing, which one was shelter plus care? Did we do any tours of those type of housing?
Sure, Supervisor. I don't think you saw any shelter plus care units. We were able to project base some of our shelter plus care. Those developments you did not see that day. And typically our shelter plus care units are just individual apartments spread throughout the county. So you did not get an opportunity to see that. But any supervisor that would like to take a tour or learn more about our housing programs can contact me. I'm happy to do that.
What's the big difference, though, just services on site versus county bringing services to the
apartment? For shelter plus care?
Yes.
That's a very good question. The difference is for shelter plus care, it's actually a homeless program. You have to meet the federal definition of homelessness, so you have to be actually living on the streets. You have to be coming from a homeless shelter. For the Housing Choice Voucher Program, it's strictly low income. So that is the major difference. And with shelter plus care, HUD mandates that you have to have permanent long-term case management, and that's also not the case with Section 8.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions from committee? This was an informational item. Thank you. Thank you very much. Item number 10 from the Behavioral Health Division.